Today's shiur is Daf Kuf Beis in Masechta Erevin, and we're going to begin on Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Yomid. The Mishnah continues to discuss the halachas of closing and opening doors. When does it look like a door, which, as we explained in the previous shiur, is mutter to be opened and closed on Shabbos, and when does something look like its building, which is usur either midaraisa or midrabanan to do building on Shabbos? Teaches us the Mishnah, Naga Shiyesh Baroshoi Galustra, a bolt that has a knob on its end. Rebbe Lezer prohibits us from using such a bolt. So, as the Mepharshim explained, if it has no bolt, it has no ball on top, and it just is a regular bolt, and inserting such a bolt may be an Isser Deraisa. However, here, since it has on it this knob on its end, Rebbe Lezer says that doesn't make a difference, and you're not allowed to insert a bolt on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi says it's mutter, since it has this bolt, so it looks like a pestle, something used to crush items. So nobody's going to assume that you're building, that you're inserting this bolt to remain there on a permanent basis. Rather, they will understand that it's just being used on a temporary basis. Therefore, it doesn't look like binyan, and it's mutter. Says the Mishnah, Ma'aseh b'Knesset Shebetveria, there was a story in the shul in Tveria, Shehayu Nohagim Ban Heter, that they used to use such a bolt in Shabbos. Achbar Rav Gamliel, it was a kain of Oslan, and Rav Gamliel, the kainim, told him that they weren't supposed to do this. Rav Yossi says just the opposite took place. Issa Nohagabai, they did not let them use such a bolt. Oblar Rav Gamliel was a kain of Atirulam, and Rav Gamliel, the kainim, said that it may be used. So Tysus asks the question that the Gemara says in a number of places in the Chas, Misachim Nadar, Misachim Psochim, Dvarim Hamutarim, something which is mutter, Vacherim Nagubo Isser, where other people have been machmer and don't do it, Iyatu Shoi Latiram Bifnaim, you can't go and then tell them that it's mutter. So they ask if they were machmer not to use these bolts, how could they now go and say that it's mutter? So Tosfos teaches us that the only time you're not allowed to tell a person who's being machmer that he now can't be makel is if his chumra was based on a legitimate shita in halacha. But if his chumra was based on a mistake, then you can tell him that he was making an error. And that's exactly what the Mishnah is teaching us, that there was no reason in the world not to be allowed to use the bolt. It was a mistake not using a bolt. And therefore, they told him that you can now actually use the bolt that has the knob on the hand. The Ritva says that the machloikis of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yossi is dafka, is strictly on this type of a bolt that has the ball, the knob on it. Is that enough to make it into a keli that it should be mutter to be used? But something which is certainly a keli, everybody will agree, says the Ritva, even Rabbi Lezer will agree that it may be used on Shabbos. And the Gemara actually qualifies the machlokes. Benitel be'ugdoi, if the bolt is so strongly tied to the door that it can be picked up while it's tied and will remain tied to the door, kule alma pligi, everybody will agree, even Rabbi Lezer will agree that such a bolt is used, may be used on Shabbos. Since it's tied to the door, it's obvious in such a strong fashion, it's obvious that it's part of the door, and that's why it may be used. Ki pligi, when do Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yossi disagree? B'she'ena nutl be'ugdai, when it's not tied strong enough that if you pick it up, it won't get disconnected. The mass of Rabbi Yossi holds, kiven the yesh barosha glustra, since it has this knob at its head, so it's obvious that it's not just going to be left there permanently. So it's obviously that it's not binyan, and that's why Rabbi Yossi will say it's mutter. Taurus keli olaf. And Rabbi Lezer holds, kiven the ein nutl be'ugdoi, since it can't be picked up by the cord with which it's tied, loy, it may not be used on Shabbos because it looks like binyan. Continues the Mishnah. Nagar hanigra. This is shown in diagram 359 on page 120. We have the bolt. Like all the Rishonim point out, that we're obviously talking about a bolt that doesn't have on it a knob. Because a bolt that has on it a knob, we already learned in the previous Mishnah, is mutter to be used. Here we have a bolt which is tied to the door, but it's dragging on the ground. Says the Tanakama, Ne'alam Bama Migdash, we could use it to lock a door in the base of Migdash, because the rule is, Ein Shvus B'Migdash, the Rabbonons are not Osir in the base of Migdash. The Isser of using a bolt is only a Rabbonon of Mechsi Kabayna, and therefore it is waived in the base of Migdash, Avloi B'Medina. Outside the base of Migdash, it may not be used. V'amunach, and a bolt that rests on the ground, that's unattached, and since it's unattached, it's an Isser D'Raisa, because it's called binyan, therefore kamva kamva osur, it's osur to be used both in the base of Migdash and outside of the base of Migdash. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, Rabbi Yehuda is more lenient. Hamunach, a bolt which rests on the ground, even though it's completely unattached, it's mutter b'Migdash, because he holds in any situation using a bolt is never an Issa D'Raisa, it's only a Drabonon. And as we explained a moment ago, Rabbi Yehuda will teach us that in the Beis HaMikdash there are no Issa Drabonon. Vanigror, and a bolt that's tied and drags on the ground, it's even mutter for Medina outside the Beis HaMikdash, because according to him, that is completely mutter, it's not considered at all even an Issa Drabonon. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Eizen Nagra HaNigra, what is the definition of a bolt that drags on the ground? Shenayam Baba Migdash Avloi Medina, that may be used in the Beis HaMikdash, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash, according to Tana Kama. Kol Shekosh V'Tolui, any bolt that is attached to the ground and suspended from the ground. And one of its ends reached the ground. Now, the Chasam Sofer says, what is the Braisa teaching us that we didn't learn in the Mishnah? Teaches us, the Braisa is teaching us that the Mishnah taught us Nagra HaNigra, that when it's dragging on the ground, it's us to be used outside. Tells us the Braisa, I would think that what's called dragging on the ground? If both ends are on the ground, not, if we look at diagram 359 all the way on the right side, we see the bolt that's dragging in the ground, only one side is dragging in the ground. That's what the Bryce is teaching us. Because I would have thought that to be considered dragging on the ground, you have to have both ends dragging on the ground. That's what the Bryce teaches us, that even one end dragging on the ground is considered dragging on the ground. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Zaf B'Dina Mutter. If it's dragging on the ground, if it's tied, it's mutter even in outside the base of Migdash, if it's tied. El Eze Nagar, Shinayalam B'Migdash of Eloi B'Dina. What is the bolt that may only be used in the base of Migdash and not outside the base of Migdash? Shenuk Loi Kosh of Loi Tali. It's not tied, not suspended. V'Shem T'Menichu Keren Zavis. It can be left in a corner. That is what Rabbi Yehuda says is mutter in the base of Migdash and outside the base of Migdash, it's also. On Rabbi Yehuda, Amashmul, Halach Rabbi Yehuda ben Nigrur. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda regarding a bolt that drags on the ground, that it's totally permitted even outside the Beis HaMikdash. But Rashi and Tosfos point out that actually Rabbi Yehuda taught us two dinim. He taught us a din regarding Nagra and Nigra, regarding the bolt that's dragging, that it's mutter both in the Beis HaMikdash and outside the Beis HaMikdash. But he also taught us a halacha regarding the bolt that's not attached at all, Hamurach, that it's also outside the Beis HaMikdash and it's mutter in the Beis HaMikdash. Says Rashi and Tosfos, when the Gemara over here is passing like Rabbi Yehuda, it's only passing like Rabbi Yehuda regarding Nagra HaNigra, regarding that psak that it's mutter if it's tied, even though it's dragging on the ground. However, regarding Munach, there we don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Munach we're going to hold is Osir outside the Beis HaMikdash, and is even Osir in the Beis HaMikdash, because that's called Binyan Dairaisa, a Malacha Dairaisa, which is Osir even in the Beis HaMikdash. For as Rashi explains, Malachas Dairaisa are not waived in the Beis HaMikdash. The only exceptions are Karbonos that have to be brought on Shabbos or Yom Tov, that even though bringing the Karbonos involve a Malacha Dairaisa, there we're over Dairaisa, we're allowed to do that in the Beis HaMikdash. But no other Malacha is waived even in the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rava, so Rava says, when we say that it's dragging, if it's tied, it's maybe used, it has to be Husha Kosher Medalis. It has to be tied to the door. If it's tied to the door, that's when it's obvious that it's a part of the door. If it's just tied to the doorway, that's not enough. Aini asked the Gemara, Rav Tavlik Lamechuzo, Rav Tavlik came to Mechuzo, Vechuzo, who David Toli, Bibi the Dasha, and he saw there was a bolt that was suspended from the bar of the door. Not from the door itself, and he didn't say anything. Answers the Gemara, who nitl ba'agdahava. That bolt, which Rav Tavla saw, was tied very strong, that when it was tied, it didn't ever get disconnected. And therefore he says like this, when do we say that the bolt has to be attached to the door? That's when the cord is weak. But when the cord is strong, there the halacha is that it could be even attached to the doorway or to a bar around the door. So now we have a number of a tayrim for a bolt, just to summarize what we're up to. According to the previous Mishnah, if it has a knob on top of it, it's mutter. And according to this Mishnah, if it's tied to the door itself, no matter how weakly it's tied to the door, it's also mutter. And if it's tied strongly, it's even mutter when it's tied not to the door, but to the doorway or to a bar next to the door. Rav Avi Ikla Hador. Rav Avi came to the door, Chazal Gavra, Tavaka Kata Begemi. He saw a person that was fastening a bolt with a string made out of reeds. Amad Deinlein Nitrik. He said, that door cannot be used with the bolt. And as the Ritva explains, that even though we're saying that if it's attached to the door, we may use it, that's only when it's attached. That's only when it's attached with some sort of a string. But this reed was so worthless that it can't be used under any circumstances. Bar Rav Zeira, Nikmas. If when we use the bolt, we press it all the way into the ground, it's very deep into the ground, is that considered binyan? Mahu? What's the halacha? Matabayle. So, Amar Rav Yosi Maita Bailai, what was Rav Zeira's question? L'shmilei ha'detanya, didn't he hear what we learned in the Braisa? Nishmat, if the bolt is disengaged from the door, Osir, you can't use the bolt. Nikmas, if the bolt is being pressed all the way into the ground, mutter, it's still mutter to be used. Rav Yehudaima, Nikmas, if it's being pressed into the ground, afal pi shein nishmat, even though it's not disconnected from the door, still also may not be used. Vam Rav Yehuda Amishmul Halach Rav Yehuda but Nikmas. The halach is like Rav Yehuda regarding Nikmas. But Tama Mai Mishun Nemechti Kibayna. When you push it in that deep, it looks like you're doing binyan, and that's why it's always Asher. Boy Menei Rav Nechumi Bazachari Mirbaya Asher Beis Yad Mayu. If someone made a handle for the board, what's the halacha? Do we say, as we learned in the first Mishnah we learned today, that when you make it into a keli, it may be used? Or do we say that this is not called a keli? Amalei, so Abaye answered him, Bruchnu Kamnet, you're talking about a bolt that looks like a pestle, like we spoke about in the previous Mishnah, Itma, Omrav, Nechumi Bar Abba, Osla Beis Yad, Mutter. If you make a handle, it's like making a bolt on a knob on top of the bolt, and it's Mutter. Hahu Sharisa Dahav Bei Repedas. There was this beam in Repedas's home. Dava Madloi Bei Asoro. That it was so heavy to lift up, it took 10 people to pick it up. Vishadulai Dasha. And they put it against the door to close the door at night, and it's mutter. And they didn't say anything. Omar, they explained Taurus Kalila, since the beam is a utensil, it can be used as a bench on Shabbos, therefore it can be used to keep the door securely closed. And as the Mefarshim explained, the point of this Gemara is not so much regarding Hilchus Binyan B'Shabbos, but it's more regarding Hilchus Muksa B'Shabbos, that even though something is very heavy, if it has a use on Shabbos, they're not considered mutter, and they're not considered muksa, and may be used. And in fact, the Meiri says that even a keli shemalachto le'isser, which is somewhat muksa, but as we've learned, may be moved, Litzara Gufoy Mekoimoy, may also be moved, Litzara Gufoy Mekoimoy, if it's very heavy. Hahu Asisa, Dava Be Mashmul. There was this mortar in the home of Mashmul, Dava Machsekis Adriba, which could hold a lesach, which is anywhere between 40 to 60 gallons, Shar Mashul Amejda Adasha. He allowed it to be used to keep the door closed. Amitaris Kalili, it's a Kali, and it's Mutter. Sholach le Raman by Yecheskel Rav Amram. So Raman Yecheskel sent Rav Amram, Neimelam Mar, please teach us, Mahal and Mili my Ayusa, from those fine learnings that you taught us, Damelam Mishmeder of Asi, Bekeeper the Arba, regarding the arches of a boat. Sholach le, so he answered him, Hachi Amar of Asi, Hani Keeper the Arba, the arches of a boat, Bezman Shiesh le Tefach, if they're Tefach thick, that means that we look at the arches, each arch itself is a tefach thick, and then on top of the arches are placed material to cover them. Since they're already a tefach thick, it's not considered that you're making an oil on Shabbos, and you're allowed to cover them up on Shabbos. Einami, even ein ben tefach, if there is no tefach. The gap between one arch and the other arch is less than 3 tefachim. So since it's so close together, we say lovered, and therefore the halacha is lamacha maybe machtalos. The next day you could bring a mat or parasolim and drape over them. My tama moisav al roihu. It's considered only that you're adding on top of an existing temporary oil the shapadami, and that's mutam. Because as we are going to explain, although we learned yesterday's shir that making even oil arai is also on Shabbos midrabanan, there are conditions what is considered making an oil arai and what is not considered making an oil arai. If it already has a tefach and you're just expanding on the existing tefach, it's not considered making an oil arai, and therefore, because it's already considered an oil, and that's why it's not considered making an oil arai on Shabbos. Hani dichru dehavale Rav Huna. Rav Huna had rams. The b'yomam bar tlula, during the day they required shade from the sun, or b'layla bar avira, at night they needed fresh air, so they had to open up the mats. Osla kamei, the Rav, they came to Rav, and they asked them what may or may not be done. Amle Zurich Kark Budja, go and roll up the mat, the Shai Bar Tefach, and leave one Tefach spread out. Lamachar, by day, Shabbos by day, Pashta, you could spread it out. Even though it looks like you're making an oil arai, it's mutter, because Moisav al Araihu, you're only adding to already an existing temporary oil, the Shapadami, and that is mutter. Now this Shaila, this halacha is very relevant on Sukkos, when people have awnings or different types of coverings to their sukkah, and the shaila is what may or may not be done. So the Paiskim say that if somebody has an awning that he has with a mechanism that he rolls out and rolls in, that is certainly mutter. Because since it's an awning that has this mechanism, it's obvious that it's not something that's being built as an oil, as a covering, as a regular covering, and therefore it's mutter. However, sometimes people just roll out a covering on top of the sukkah. What's the halacha then? So the Paiskim say that if the covering is directly on top of the schach, and the schach is already covering the sukkah, so you're just adding another layer on top of the existing schach, it's mutter. However, if the covering is not directly on top of the schach, there's some sort of a distance between the schach and the covering, and there, by rolling it out, it will be considered you're making an oil arai, and the only way you're allowed to use it is if it's left covered, the schukah, by a tefach, and thereby spreading it out, it's considered maisef alav, oil arai, and as we learned down the Gemara, that would be mutter. The Gemara teaches us more halachas regarding oil arai. Omer Rav Meshim Rav Chia, vilan, a curtain, mutl and toisoy, or mutl farka b'shabbos, may be hung and may be taken down on Shabbos. Because Rashi explains, since the point of this vilan, of this curtain, is only to be there for tznius, only for covering, but it's constantly people go in and out through it on Shabbos, and that's why it's mutter. There's a Trumas Hadeshin. The Trumas Hadeshin discusses the following shaila. If a proiches fell down on Shabbos, may it be put it back on. Or he says that there was a minig in certain places that before Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, they would take off the proiches and put on another proiches. Can we say, based on our Gemara, the Al Gemara just taught us that we're allowed to put on a curtain on Shabbos, that you're allowed to put it on a curtain that's used as by an entranceway can be put on and taken down on Shabbos, is the same by Aron Kodesh. So he wants to say that it's not exactly similar to Al Gemara, because in Al Gemara the curtain people constantly open and close, go through that area to get into the room where the curtain is at the door. However, the curtain that's put in front of the Aron Kodesh is left there constantly, so it's not really similar to Al Gemara. On the other hand, the Trumas Hadeshin says it should be mutter, because the Aron HaKodesh anyway has a door. So since it has a door, the proiches are not really serving the purpose of a closing. They're just there as some sort of a tachshit, or some sort of a decoration, and should be mutter. However, he ends that even though he thinks it should be mutter, since he heard from many people that they were machmir, they didn't want to be makel, that's why he's not going to be makel either, although he thinks that api halacha there is a basis to be makel. Continues the Gemara. Kilas chsanim, the canopy of a bread, of a barley bread, mutal of farkel and tois b'shabbos, can be taken down and hung up in Shabbos. Amr of Sheish B'Reid Ravidi, Rav Sheish B'Reid Ravidi said, lo yamar el she'em b'gaga tefach. The only time we're allowed to do this is when the roof has less than a tefach in its width. Aval yesh b'gaga tefach, if the roof is a tefach wide, also you can't put up or take down the canopy. V'chein ein b'gaga tefach, even if the roof is not a tefach wide. Lo yamaron el she'em b'pachas v'sholosh samach l'gag tefach, that within three tefachim of the top of the canopy there isn't a width of three tefachim. If within three tefachim of the top of the canopy we have a width of a tefach, that's considered as if it's a tefach wide on the top, because we use the concept of loved, that anything that's within three tefachim of the top is considered at the top, and it's also. Furthermore, even within three tefachim of the peak we don't have a width of a tefach. Nami lo yamarin, it's not mutter yet, el she'ein b'shipua tefach, if you don't have a tefach underneath its slope. the horizontal distance between the foot of the slope and the top of the slope is less than a tefach. Aval yesh b'shipua tefach, but if there is a tefach underneath its slope, then it's already considered that it's an oil and it's asr. Why? Because they say shipua oilim ka'oli dami, because the sloping sides of a canopy, if they overhang a tefach, are considered as self as a canopy. They have the same status as the horizontal roof-like part of the canopy, which we just learned Chazal said is a problem of oil arai. So Rashi asks the obvious question: if there are so many conditions that have to be met to be considered that it's not making an oil, how could you ever have a bed with a canopy that could be used on Shabbos? So Rashi answers that the way it could be used is if you have a series of canopies right next to each other over the bed, and like that it would be mutter. Tosfos asks, how could that be a heter? If you have a series of canopies, we should say lovud, that will connect all the canopies. So Tosfos answers the concept that we've already explained previously, that we only say lovud lahokol, not lahachmer. We only use the concept of lovud to teach us a kula, not a chumra. Here, lovud is going to teach us a chumra, and it's not used. V'amrav shesh b'rei d'ravidi, sa'in neshari, it's permitted to wear a felt hat on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara of Atanya also, we learned it's also, answers the Gemara of Loikasha. Hadis be tefach, if the hat has a brim, that's a tefach wide, so it looks like an oil, and it's also. Hadles be tefach, if the brim isn't a tefach wide, it's mutter. Ask the Gemara, El Ma'at Shavra Beglime Tefach, if somebody were to extend his coat, a tefach b'diyan, the front of his head, Hach Nami Dasar, you can tell me you can't do that because it's considered an oil. If somebody's wearing like a hat, a coat with a hood, and the hood juts out from in front of his head, a tefach, I'm going to say it's oil. El Lekasha, says the Gemara, Hadam Hedek, we're talking about a hat which fits tight, Hadloim Hedek, or a hat that doesn't fit tight. So according to Rashi, the way we have to understand the Gemara is that wearing a hat, there is no problem of oil. The only problem wearing a hat is that the hat may fly off and you may end up carrying the hat. And that's why the Gemara differentiates if the hat fits well versus if the hat doesn't fit well. Tosfos quotes from Rishonim, from the Rabbeinu Chananel, that they don't agree with Rashi's Pshat, because our Gemara is discussing oil, and all of a sudden the Gemara changes that it's not an issue of oil, it's an issue of carrying. And he says it depends on what type of material is used for the hat. If the hat is made out of material that isn't easily bent, then it's considered an oil, if it's a tefach wide, otherwise it's not. There's a very interesting vort from the Paiskim that say that although Rashi and Tosfos, as we just explained, have a very fundamental disagreement and how to understand this Gemara, there is one heter in halacha that will certainly work for both shitas, and based on that you'll always be able to wear a hat. And that is if you don't wear a yarmulke under your hat. Because let's understand. According to Rashi, the concern is that your hat's going to fly off, you're going to run to pick it up, and you're going to forget, and instead of putting it right back on your head, you're going to carry it. But if you're not wearing a yarmulke, you certainly won't walk without your head covered, and therefore there's no room for concern. According to Tosfos, the concern is making an oil. But when is there a concern of making an oil? That we think that you're wearing this wide hat to protect you from the sun, to protect you from the rain. But that's only if you're wearing a yarmulke. So you're not wearing the hat to cover your head, as every Jew is required to, every male Jew is required to. So there I could say, you may be wearing the hat if it has the characteristics of an oil, that you're wearing it because you want to make an oil. But if you're not wearing a yarmulke, it's obvious that the reason why you're wearing this hat, as wide as it may not be, is to cover your head, as it's supposed to be covered. And therefore, it will also be mutter to wear any hat, how wide it may not be. So according to this, if you don't wear a yarmulke under your hat on Shabbos, it could be as wide as you want it to be, it could be tight fitting or not tight fitting, and it will still be mutter. Before we end this sugya, we should really speak about the shaila about opening an umbrella on Shabbos, which the Noda Yehuda said, based on this Gemara, an umbrella may not be opened on Shabbos because it's considered making oil arai. An umbrella is a tefach wide, so when you're opening it up, you're making an oil arai. Chazanish says there's another issue in opening up an umbrella, and that is that it may be makbe patish, that you're turning it into a keli. But then there's another tshuva for Noda Yehuda. That concern only exists if you're opening the umbrella on Shabbos. But what if you know it's going to rain on Shabbos? So in order to protect yourself on Shabbos, you open up your umbrella from before Shabbos, and like that you'll use it on Shabbos. Why should that be usur? So Noda Yehuda says in a different tshuva, that because people who will see you walking with the umbrella on Shabbos will not realize that you opened this umbrella from before Shabbos. They will think that you opened it on Shabbos, and that's why it's usur. The Chasam Sofer disagrees with the Noda Yehuda, and he says that maybe opening an umbrella should be mutter, and he says for three reasons. Number one, an umbrella is obvious that it's only binyan l'shah, that's only temporary, that's only being used as long as you're in the rain or in the sun. Number two, he says that since the size of the umbrella do not go down to the floor, and as we explained yesterday, by an oil arai, you need a roof and sides. Here you only have a roof and you don't have sides. And furthermore, if some cipher says, and we discussed this also in the previous year, that since the umbrella is held up by people, so since it's held up by people, it's not considered at all an oil and maybe mutter. However, as we know, all the Paiskim have answered the use of umbrellas on Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah. Mechzir and tzir atachta b'migdash. Somebody can reinsert the bottom pivot in the base of Migdash, whereas we learned in Amud Aleph, Shvusim, the Rabbanans are waived. Putting in the bottom pivot is only a Shvus and is Mutter. Avloi Medina, outside the base of Migdash, where it's a Rabbanan, it's Asur. So as Rashi explains, we're speaking over here about a box that contained in it various items, salt or other items that were used in the Beis HaMikdash. So in order to be able to have use of this box, if the bottom pivot, which the only Isser is Isser Rabbanon, you're allowed to ain't Shus HaMikdash, you're allowed to do it. The Elyon, the top pivot, Kamakan Osir, cannot be put in not outside the Beis HaMikdash or even in the Beis HaMikdash, because that is already considered building. Rabbi Yehuda is more makel. He holds the Elyon b'Migdash. The top pivot could be even put into the base of Migdash, because even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the top pivot is only an Issa de Rabbanon. But Tachtoim Medina, and the bottom pivot could even be put into outside the base of Migdash, because that is not even an Issa de Rabbanon. That is a very fundamental machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to approach this Mishnah. Rashi says that we're speaking here about a box, as we said earlier, and our Mishnah goes according to the Shita that says Yesh Binyan B'Kelim, that even in utensils there's an issue of Binyan, and that's why wherever it is Binyan, it's also in the Beis HaMikdash. Tosfos says that the Shita that holds Yesh Binyan B'Kelim is Beis Shammai Shita, whom we don't agree with. According to Beis Hillel, it's Ein Binyan B'Kelim, and therefore he says that even we're not talking about a bat, that what do you call it, that he says that even the upper pivot is no more than an Issa Rabbanon. But if the upper pivot is no more than an Issa Rabbanon, why does the Tanakhama say that it's Asur? So he explains that even though we've said Ain Shvus B'Migdash, there are no Issa Rabbanon but Migdash, there's a difference between what type of Issa Rabbanon. As Tosfos' terminology, Shvus Gedoilo, a serious Shvus, is Asur in the Beis HaMikdash. So he says that putting in the upper pivot, even though it's only in Issa D'Rabbanon, the Tanakhama teaches us, is a Shvus G'dayla, is a serious Shvus, and that's why it's also in the Beis HaMikdash according to Tanakhama. Tan Rabbanon. So we learned in a Braisa. Tzir Dela Sheda Teva Migdol. The bottom pivot of a door, of a carriage, a crate, or a closet. B'Migdash Magzirin, in the Beis HaMikdash it could be put back in. B'Bedina Doichkin. Outside the Beis HaMikdash we're allowed to push it back into the socket if it started to slip out. But if it came out, we can't put it back in. V'Elyon, and the upper pivot, Kavakan Lo Yachzir, you can't put it back in, not in the Beis HaMikdash, nor outside the Beis HaMikdash, because according to Rashi, that's Nisa Deraisa. According to Tosfos, it's a Shvus G'dayla. Gzeira. Now, why aren't you allowed to put back a bottom pivot? Says the Gemara, Gzeira Shemitipka. Because we're afraid that he may knock the pivot firmly into the socket with a hammer. Vimtaka. And if somebody knocks a pivot in firmly, Chayiv Chatis, he's going to be Chayiv Chatis for Makom HaPatish. The Braisa continues, Shabar v'shaldos v'shayitziyah, the door of a pit, a cistern, or an annex, if it came out of socket, lo yachs, that you're not allowed to put back, mechser, and if you put it back on, chayiv chatas, because since these are part in the ground, that's already considered binyan, and it's awesome. The Mishnah continues in differentiating between what's mutter in the Beis HaMikdash versus what's mutter outside the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Mishnah, Machzir Ritiv HaMikdash, somebody could replace a dressing in the temple for the sake of being able to do the Avodah. So as Rashi explains, a Kohen, when he does the Avodah, is not going to have any Chatzitza, he's not going to have anything on his hand or interfering between him and the Kalim, between his feet and the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. If the Kohen has a bandage, he has to be remove it. Now, as we're going to learn, you're not allowed to replace the bandage on Shabbos under normal circumstances, because replacing the bandage on Shabbos, we're concerned, as the Gemara says, Shem Yamarech, these were medicated bandages, and there's a concern that somebody may smooth out the medicine. However, if we're going to tell the Kohen that you're not allowed to replace the bandage, you're not allowed to take off the bandage and then put it back on, he's not going to want to do the Avodah. So he tiru soifa mishem tchiloson. Chazal did not want, chas v'shalom, that people shouldn't do the Avodah and the Kohanim should not do the Avodah, and therefore for them they waived the isser of replacing the bandage. Not outside the Beis HaMikdash, because it's a concern on the Marach. But to put on a dressing in the first place, both the Beis HaMikdash and outside the Beis HaMikdash, is Osir, because of Shem Yamarach, you may come to shmir the medicine that's on the bandage, it's on the body. Now, it's a very interesting question that the Paiskim discuss. When we speak about Hilchas Chatzitza, for Hilchas Tefillah, for when somebody has to go to the mikvah, the halach is that if it's a miut, if it covers a very small part of the body, and ain't a makbid, the person is really not careful about it, the halach is that's not considered a Chatzitza. So they ask, why is this bandage a Chatzitza? It's a miut, ain't a makbid. So the Mefarshim explain that this halacha, that a miyut she'en a makbid, is not a chatzitza, is only regarding Hilchas Tefillah. But regarding Hilchas Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, even a miyut she'en a makbid is considered a chatzitza. Continue the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. Ritiya shapir shema gaba maka. If a dressing fell off a wound on Shabbos, Machzir b'Shabbos, he could put it back on Shabbos. Why? So Rashi explains, because it's a milsad lo shchicha. it's not common that it should fall off. Others explain that if somebody deliberately removes the dressing and now he wants to replace it, so that means he's putting on a dressing on Shabbos. He's putting on a bandage on Shabbos. And as we learned in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to put on a bandage on Shabbos. But, however, if the bandage only fell off by itself, that's not considered, and you just put it back on, that's not considered as if you're putting it on from the first place, and that's why it's mutter. Rehuda says that if the dressing fell off completely off the wound, under any circumstances, it cannot be replaced. If it slipped downwards, you could push it back up. If it slipped upwards, you could push it back down. Somebody could expose part of the dressing. And wipe the surface of the wound. Then expose the other side of the dressing. And wipe the surface of the wound. But you're not allowed to wipe the dressing itself. Because that's act of marich, which we said before is a iser on Shabbos. For mirich, if somebody does move the dressing, he's chayiv chatas for the melacha of marich. There's a machloikis, what exactly is marich on? Is it on the dressing? Or is it on the wound? The halacha is, it makes no difference. Marich is relevant to both. On Rav Yehuda Mishmul, halach Rav Yehuda, halach is Rav Yehuda, that you can never put back a dressing if it fell off on Shabbos. The first opinion that we learned before, that you could replace a dressing if it fell off by itself, is only if it fell off on an object. If it fell off onto the ground, even the first shita will hold usr, it's usr, because that's like putting it on from scratch, from new, which is usr. Abba, I was once in front of my father, and a dressing fell off on the pillow and he replaced it. So I said to him, the machlokes between the Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda is only if it fell off onto an object. It fell onto the floor. All agree that you can't put it back. Now Rabbi Yehuda will hold that if it fell on a pillow, it's osur. So how are you putting it back? And Shmuel said that lachs Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if it fell on a pillow, it should be osur to put it back. I did not hear what Rav Chisda said. I do not agree. Rav Ashi held that the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda was only when it fell on the floor. But if it fell onto an object, even Rabbi Yehuda will hold that it's mutter. And since here it fell onto the pillow, it fell onto an object, it's mutter. There's a very interesting tshuva from the Tzitz Eliezer based on this Gemara. He says that in the hospital, in the Shaar Tzedek hospital, where he was the Rav, they used to prepare from before Shabbos medicated bandages, that if Chas V'Shalom there was a need for it on Shabbos, it would be used. So he says, what kind of a heter is that? He says, in our Gemara, it's very clear that you're not allowed to put on a dressing, a bandage, on the first place in Shabbos. So what's the difference if they prepare the bandages with the medication on them from before Shabbos? Obviously, we're not speaking in a situation of sakana. In a situation of sakana, all these malachas would certainly be mutter. So he says an interesting heter. He says that why are we concerned with the dressing? Because as we learned in the Gemara, we're concerned shemi yamarif, that you may come to smooth to smear the medicine. He says, since bandages that are used, normally if somebody chas v'shalom needs a medicated bandage, when is the bandage medicated? When is the medication put on? It's put on when you're going to use the bandage. Here, by the fact that they put on the medicine from before Shabbos, that serves as a hecker. That serves as a way of showing people that they are not, that they're being careful, and that they're not going to do miruach, and therefore, even if it's put on, even if it's prepared from before Shabbos, and it's being put on the first place in Shabbos, it should be mutter.